Clark.
My debut, 1990 September, Bristol City away. To get that opportunity, what thousands of Geordies only dream of.
Lee Clark, 1-0.
Williams.
My first goal for Sunderland away at Leicester. It was a left foot volley. I didn't realise my left foot was for kicking the ball with as well. I thought it was just for standard.
Hignett.
Playing against Chelsea and to score the first goal there is something that still lives with me now, and it's what most people will talk to me about.
Hignett with the ball. Ron Hignett. You beauty! You Scouser Teesside beauty!
Worshipped every weekend. It's the three legends. Banter and rivalry across the North East. On the tune, the cat, the red.
Well, we're here again. It is that time, and I'm pleased to say I'm here, because like, I've been missing a few days, but there you go. But it's not about me, it's about you fellas. We've got Higgy in the studio, Craig Hignett with us, we've got Lee Clark, we've got Daz Williams. As normal, it is three legends. Boys, feel free to talk footy.
Evening, Dave.
Evening,
lads.
Evening, mate. You lads, all right?
How's your weekend been, lads? Is the big question.
Not too bad, mate.
Not too bad. Good result down in London for the tune.
I'll take a point against Leeds.
What about wouldn't the other game, Dad?
I wouldn't have took a point on Saturday, mate, honestly. We scored enough goals to win the Leeds game as well. Honestly, the amount of chances we had was ridiculous, mate. Honestly, unbelievable. Dominated the game. Enough shots on target to win the game, but just didn't materialise, mate. I spoke to Dodsy after the game, actually, and obviously, you know, I gotta say he was obviously disappointed in obviously not getting the 3 points, you know. But like I said to him, I said, you know, we've done everything bar and put the ball in the back of the net, and you know, and obviously that's been an issue most of the season, and it was evident on Saturday how important it is to have, you know, a striker that, you know, is deadly in front of goal. I mean, the keeper made a few blinding saves. But it was one of those games where we dominated so much. You know, there was an opportunity just before half-time, you know, where we could have conceded. You know, a little bit of sloppy play, got caught on the ball. They broke it into the 6-yard box, cut it across, and to be fair, you know, Pat has done brilliant to get something on it. Luke O'Neill's got a block in, so the lads were defending and they were doing everything right, but we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, mate. I hit the crossbar 2 or 3 times, and it, you know, it was a little bit of a somber atmosphere, really, you know, considering it was International Fans Day. Just because of the result, you know, it would have been ideal. Just, you know, even though what you would have even took a 1-0 from that. But Dodsy was disappointed, and you know, and then obviously, you know, you're looking at the Leeds game, and you think, oh God, you know, we need to be strong, we need to stand up, you know, which the lads did. They defended extremely well, didn't create much. You know, obviously, you know, which is understandable against Leeds, because I think, you know, you're more defensive minded and you know, more not wanting to concede, because I think if you concede one against Leeds at home, then obviously, you know, we could have been apple crumble. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. I watched it, Daz, to be fair. I thought it was like you said, the Leeds game. I thought they were excellent defensively. Thought the organisation of the team, the attitude of the players was brilliant. You know, you got it spot on. They didn't create a hell of a lot. They didn't have a lot of good moments with the ball. But is it 5 out of 6 clean sheets, mate, or 4 out of 5, something like that? Is it?
I think it's 4 out of 5, mate. I might be wrong.
Yeah, it's a good. Yeah, it's a good basis to start things, isn't it? But I think what they've got to try and do now is keep that defensive organisation and be solid like they are, but try and cause problems to the opposition now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
well,
put
this
the
is
ball
the thing,
in the net, like you say.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was evident against Leeds that, you know, they didn't want to concede. They were nice and solid and compact. And the interesting thing was Pembele. You know, he's played in a wing back position, which was interesting because he didn't look out of place. You know, it's his first start of the season, and you know, I thought he settled in really well into that position, and you know, that may be something to go with on Saturday. But it was interesting to see him in that, and he looked comfortable at times as well. He's quite an athletic lad, you know, so he can get up and down the pitch. So
he looked well,
but yeah, but
I tell you what stood out as well, mate, that the few bits of quality in the attacking areas, mostly came from Jack Clark, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
If the worst was to happen and he was to move on this summer, mate, it's going to leave another big gap, isn't it, in the attacking type of department. Especially
with the
way things are going at the moment as well. That's where he's a weak, I think, at the moment, isn't it? And if he was to go, wow, that would
definitely
be cool.
100%, mate. I mean, you know, he's the most creative player that we probably have on the pitch. You know, he scores goals. He's dangerous. You know, he's very positive when he's going forward, and that was evident against Leeds. You know, like you say, he was the one who created the odd option or chance that we had. You know, he was the creator. But for me, you know, people threw the bodies on the line. You know, didn't want to concede, and it was great to have two keepers in as well. I didn't realise you could do that in a game.
Arsenal did it in Europe as well, didn't he, with Gabriel as well?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, it still wasn't as bad as that West Brom Rotherham one the other night. Did you see?
Oh, that was shocking.
When he hit the lad on the head, and he was outside the semicircle on the edge. He was 4 yards out the side the box, and he gave a pen.
I know. Listen, when things are going against you, they go against you, don't they?
Oh, mate.
That was hilarious.
I mean, I suppose it's you know, it's good for Dodgy knowing that he's got another keeper in the squad. But he's done well. But, you know, I think we touched on it, didn't we? You know, that's Luke O'Nan. You know, he does some strange things at times. You know, on and off the pitch. To be quite honest,
we had a chat, didn't we, the three on my group WhatsApp board about him. Like, he's just one of them players that he'd be brilliant to have in your team, but he would just wind you up if you were playing against him. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely, mate.
He'd just be doing your head in, like.
You look at a few occasions this season, you know, he's gone nose to nose with a lad and give him a kiss. He's jumped on somebody's back and got a piggyback as the game was going on. It's just bizarre, isn't it? You know, and now he's going to play volleyball. So it's class.
I've got to say though, Daz, seriously, I can't remember them letting Leeds have a lot of chances. You can't, when you look back on the game, you can't think like, oh, Leeds probably could have won that. They've missed that chance. When you look back on it, there wasn't a lot of chances, so you know
there wasn't, mate. I think they frustrated Leeds. I think, you know, they kept it nice and compact, and I think Leeds' chances were from distance. A lot of shots came from distance, which was evident in the way they played. You know, there's, like I say, nice and compact. You know, if you're playing wing backs, you've got three in the centre there. You know, so I think, you know, they've done a good job and they've done the homework, and obviously it paid off. You know, I mean, you know, it sounds thingy in settling for a point. Do you know what I mean? But in the current situation, you know, you take a point at Elland Road all day
long. Listen, Daz, if you're winning your home games, which you know, like you said, you should have beat Bristol City on the Saturday, you go to Elland Road, you take a point with a 0-0. That's a brilliant result any other time, isn't it? It's just because of the run of results that yous are on at the moment.
Exactly, mate.
You're not scoring a lot of goals where, obviously, yous are desperate to get a win, whether at home or away, but in the context of the season. I mean, the way Leeds have been going as well, that their home record's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it, in terms of their win ratio.
Do you know what? We're getting to that stage of the season now where none of the top lads look like they want to win the league, do they? You know,
I was just going to say that.
It's unbelievable. It's frightening what they're all doing. You know, they'll have a win and then you'll think, oh, here we go, Leicester are 4 points clear again, they're going to go, and then they get beat. And then you look at Leeds, they draw, Ipswich draw. And it's like no one wants to grab it by the scruff of the neck and go, do you know what, we'll win the league if yous don't want it.
But
I think, you know, at this time of the season, I think that Alex Ferguson's squeaky bum time, isn't it, where good teams do strange things. And it's not just in the Championship. We've seen it happen in the Premier League. I've seen Liverpool do a couple of strange things this week. So it's just the time of the season does strange things to people.
Yeah, it does.
It's exciting if you're not involved in it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Aye. 100%.
I mean, people were still talking about Borough getting in the playoffs, you know, when we were seeing they took the lead against Hull and they're like, oh, we're in it. And you're thinking, come on, man.
I was one of them. Iggy has a roof. What's up? I got a bit excited.
Well, I'm glad you're our Newcastle expert then.
Yeah. But it was just... I mean, they've got Leeds, haven't they, at the weekend. And I mean, they got Ipswich, sorry, first before they play Leeds.
Then it's two ridiculous games.
And when you looked at the running, and we've said it last week, you've got no chance of getting in. And, you know, it's. I think that's killed them, Hull. And all it took was a draw. I think I said last week that they could have won all the games, and I still don't think they'd have got in. Norwich look like they're having a little slip up. But West Brom are the ones who I think will nip them. West Brom has gone above them now, haven't they?
Yeah.
So
I mean, you two guys will have a big say in what's going to happen after obviously tomorrow when you have got West Brom and Ipswich. So
yeah,
100%.
It's exciting 100%. Games. At least there's still something to play for. I mean, the you know with Sunderland, the lads obviously are young lads. They're wanting to cement their place in the team and be ready for next season. But when they've got these games coming up against the West Brom, who as you said, Higgy, just nicked into the last place in the playoffs, it's you know you get a little bit of motivation by trying to prevent them doing it. Like Borough tomorrow go to Ipswich, can they put a span on their works? And like we've said, by the way, all season, Borough are capable of going there and winning, by the way.
I think anyone in the championship is capable of going anywhere, and on the day we've seen how inconsistent a lot of the teams are. I mean, Borough have took 6 points off Leicester this season.
Unbelievable.
They took two off Rotherham. Something like that. One, because they got injured.
One off Rotherham, them stats there probably tells you why they're not in the playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I'll tell you what has happened though. Lattie Lass started scoring, and there's a centre forward for you, Daz. If you want to buy him in the summer, just come in with a good bid, Sunderland. We'll take 12. We'll take 12 for him. Yeah. you can have him for 12. He'll score you all.
You're having a Lattie laugh there.
But I tell you what, you know, he might not be good on the eye and he might not be the silkiest of footballers, but he's quick and he'll get in there where it hurts and he gets chances.
But he had half a season because of injuries. Yeah. He's got 11 or 12.
Yeah, he's got 12 now.
Exactly, yeah. He's scoring goals, isn't he? You know, that's what his job is.
Borough have been lost most of the season without a goal scorer, a proper goal scorer. And he's been unfit for a lot of the season, but now he's in and he's playing. I bet you the last seven games he's played, I bet you he's not far off a goal a game because he's...
Yeah.
I mean, he's just come from nowhere, really, finding the net. Looks dangerous. And that's coincided with Borough. Like we've all said, every team needs a goal scorer. And it's coincided with Borough going on a decent run where people will suddenly think, hey, we've got half a chance again. Which we haven't, by the way.
Well, to be fair, things are looking up for us, mate. I mean, clean sheets, you know, we got 2 points from two games, which obviously we should have been four. And now we've got a new sponsor of Hummel, so we might buy him, mate, for 12 million. You just never know.
Yeah, well, he's open to offers, do you know what I mean? If it's not 12, we'll take 11 and a half for him.
You're turning into an agent already.
Yeah. And listen, by the way, Borough, I was looking at this today, you know, Clarkie's just mentioned about Sunderland keeping four clean sheets out of five. Borough have kept five out of seven.
Wow.
Which is, that's gone under the radar
Unbeaten in seven.
And they're unbeaten in seven. So it's,
well, the thing is, we said this at the start of the season, didn't we, about clean sheets. You know, you build, that's where you build from, you know, about keeping clean sheets. You know, obviously you grow in confidence from there, which obviously, you know, is evident at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a crazy league, isn't it? You don't know.
Yeah.
From 1 week to the next, you know, teams could be on a great run and then they could be playing a mid-table team and get done by three or four. I mean, you look at Blackburn. Blackburn beat you as five. And then they go and get done five by them. It's just...
I know. It's crazy.
The league is so up and down. Yeah. Like you don't know who's going to turn up, do you, half the time?
No, you don't, mate. You don't. But that's why they let us cover it.
There's sometimes we'd have got games, I'm telling you.
What, still?
Yeah. Well, Clarky might.
No, mate. There's no manufacturer out there making strips of A size now.
Hey, Clark, it's me who's been to America eating like a glutton, mate. Not you, I'm telling you.
Hey, and you want to see the tan on him?
Stop it.
You know, he's like a lobster.
I'm the only man who can go to a solar eclipse where the sun doesn't shine and get a tan.
But Clarky, Newcastle had a good winner down at Fulham, clean sheet as well.
Yeah, I watched it, mate. I mean, you know what? They were so poor in the first half, and Dubravka went down, and Eddie got all the outfield players across to him on the touchline by the dugout, and he was very animated on the touchline, looked really angry. And then from then on in, they played at a different tempo, they played with a different intensity. And I'm not sure, he's got a message on to Dubravka to just say, go down, give us a couple of minutes to get grip of these. I tell you why, Higgy, honestly, if Fulham had been four up, it wouldn't have been a bad reflection on the game. It would have been a true, because they're absolutely battered with for the first 25, 30 minutes. We couldn't... I don't think Alexander Isak touched the ball three times in the first half an hour. We couldn't get out our half, and they missed some great chances, and we were just not at it at all in any way, shape or form. We were attacking play, we were defending. It was really poor. And then after that, and then obviously would have carried on saying a few more things to them at half time, and then it was a different game, and got the goal disallowed by Fabian Schär, which I wasn't sure about. They said it was a foul by Dan Byrne on Bassey, and I wasn't sure it was, to be honest. But then Bruno popped up with a great midfielder's goal coming from deep. The ball's been deflected back off a defender from across, and he smashed it in. So a great win, really, because it sets them up for tomorrow morning, the early kickoff tomorrow, Spurs at home, which has got the makings of a great game, you know. I watched them as well at the weekend against Forest.
They got battered first half in that, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But he doesn't change his way, does he?
Big Ange.
How do you pronounce it? Postecoglou or whatever?
You've got it.
Big Ange is easy. Postecoglou.
If I had a round of applause, I'd play it.
So that'll be a real game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. And then obviously off the back of some brilliant news that Joe Linton signed a new contract. I think with us having these FFP issues, I think this is a massive signing for us. For us to get him on a long-term contract. He's been a miss for us since he's been out, with his power and his pace and his drive, his ability to sometimes play on the wing as well if we need him, not just through the middle. So that was a good piece of news for everyone.
Clarkie, you know, they've said he's the highest paid player Newcastle have ever had. So if he is, does that send a message about what's happening with Bruno? That maybe they think he's already off? Because surely you would want to tie him down, wouldn't you, before Joe Linton?
I think they've been trying to have some communication, Higgy, to be honest.
So does that suggest that they already know what he's doing?
No, the issue is, I think Joe was coming to his last year. Right. So he was out of contract, where Bruno's got a few more years left. I think round about at minimum three, possibly four. So I think we've got, you know, a little bit of time to sort things out. It's just worrying that even though the summer window will be completely different to January for us, I think it worries is still that it's being talked about that we still might have to offload one of the potential players who can bring big money in. And obviously those two players are Bruno and Alexander Isak at the minute, you know.
How long's Isak got left, Clarkie, do you know, or not?
He's only been 2 years as well, I think. So, you know, I'm assuming when they're coming in on big money, they're signing at least 5-year deals, unless you can go to Chelsea and get a 9 or 10 year deal.
We all know what's happened there, don't we? I mean, they thought that was a good idea at the time for the financial fair play stuff, doesn't it?
But it's
absolutely turned to bite them on the backside.
Oh, they're going to struggle to get. They're going to be in trouble.
Yeah,
they're going to be in big trouble. So that'll be a bit positivity. I think the results with the other clubs in around us haven't been so bad, so we can still get in those final European spots if we can, you know, have a good end of the season. So yeah, just a lot of positivity. But as I said, good bit of management from Eddie last week. I think he's seen a performance that he wasn't happy with, wasn't his identity, wasn't his type of team. And he got into them a little bit, and it changed. And you know, that's good management. Another clean sheet, Dubravka, which is good for him. So yeah, let's see what tomorrow brings. I'm looking forward to the match.
Do you think it'll be open tomorrow, Clarkie? Because it's got all the makings.
Just about to say that, Higgy. Could be a high scoring game. Could be a really exciting game. Because as I said, you know, he's already come out and said it. Big Angie said that he ain't changing the way he plays for nobody. You know, home or away, he's going to play that open game, and probably that's why, as you said as well, Forrest dominated them first half.
They missed a load of chances as well, Forrest. Chris Wood missed a few.
Oh, that one when he hit the post from a yard out when the keeper was lying on the floor. Yeah, that could have made a difference. So, but then you've seen what they possess. They've got quality players, haven't they, at the top end of the pitch. Look forward to it. So let's see what can come of it, really.
Okay, it is the three legends across the northeast on the Cat, the Red, and the Toon. It's Craig Hignett, Borough. It is Darren Williams, Sunderland, Lee Clark, Newcastle. If you want to get your comments into the boys, you can. We've got some messages already in via Facebook Live, where we're live today. But you can also WhatsApp us. You can call us as well and speak to the lads. The number 0330 043 2002. That's 0330 043 2002. We'll be right back.
It's the three legends across the northeast. Clark, legend. Williams, legend. Hignett, legend. WhatsApp us, call or send a voice message. Banter at its best. 033 00 43 2002.
Right across the northeast, the Turnback Cat and the Red.
Oh dear, here we go. A couple of messages coming in. A couple of messages towards Higgy, actually. It's from...
It wasn't me.
Leslie Court says, ask Craig if he remembers talking to me near Bannatyne's at Ingleby. He was walking his dog. No.
Who is it?
Leslie Court.
No, I talk to a lot of people when I walk my dog. Trust me.
Sorry, Leslie.
That must be a few years ago, because I was in Ingleby a few years ago.
There you go. Andy says, Borough's chances are gone for this season. Hopefully we'll get some good players for next season and we'll keep Carrick. Now, there's a question. Can we keep Carrick? And Stu Gawley says, do you think all the teams will improve next season or just stay the same? That's a northeast wide one. You can get your comments in. You can WhatsApp us 033 0043 2002. You can also pick up the phone and dial the same number and talk to the boys live on air across the northeast, 033 0043 2002. Fellas, I don't know where you're going to go next, because like you've already, you know, wrapped up the three, and we only have about, you know, 36 minutes to go.
Well, I, the lads were trying to hint going at the agency stuff. And I think that talked about going into the right industry, because the figures have just come out today in the Premier League. In the last 12 months, Premier League clubs spent $409.5 million on agents' fees. Chelsea alone spent $75 million on agents.
Well, I know where I'd be putting my players.
They could have got a striker for that, couldn't they?
I mean, that's just bizarre, isn't it? Talk about money going the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Listen, we all know everyone needs to be paid for what they do, and I get that. But some of the sums that you're talking there, you know, for someone who hasn't got a skill.
Yeah.
Or is someone going to argue with me that agents have got skills?
I was just smirking.
Listen, they haven't got a skill. They can't play. They don't know about football as well as the player or the manager.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is negotiating on the player's behalf. And listen, sometimes as a player, you don't want to go in and bull yourself up, because some people aren't made like that. You know, I never ever felt comfortable going in and saying, well, hang on a minute, I'm worth this or that. So you do need someone to do it. But for them to be paid more potentially than what the player's getting, it's bizarre.
Well, that's mental, isn't it? It's one club paying agents 75 million in one year.
So in that year, how many players have they signed? Well, it's Chelsea. It could be anything. If you break that down, it's like 7.3 million quid a deal or something like that. If there's 10 players, that's like, it's ridiculous. Half that again for 20 players. It's still like just over 3.5 million quid. It's like, wow.
Can I just ask you all, just for clarity, did you all three of you have an agent?
Yes.
Yes.
Not at the start, yes. But I did towards the end, mate. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like Higgy said, I probably knew my own worth, but I would prefer someone else to go in and negotiate on my behalf in terms of trying to get the best deal, squeezing out the best deal from the club for me, myself, rather than if I went in, I'd probably just buckle on and sign the first contract.
Yeah, but someone can go in and argue for you. That's the thing, isn't it? They can be a little bit more forceful than you would. Imagine sitting in a room with the chief exec and you're saying to him, oh, come on now, don't be stupid. I'm worth more than that.
I know. It could be worse. An ex-teammate of mine, you might know this story, Mark Crosley, when he signed a new contract at Forest, and when he signed it, it was a blank piece of paper. And Cluffy said to him, he said, well, Gaffer, I can't say that. He says, do you not trust his son? He said, well, it's blank. He said, well, you've got 5 minutes to make a decision, and if not, you can leave.
Oh, brilliant.
So he said he went outside, he came back, and he signed the blank piece of paper.
But did he get what he was expecting?
You know what he did? He did. Cluffy looked after him, and he said, yeah, that was it. He says, but imagine if he hadn't have, like...
Hey, listen, do you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a test, doesn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
That's a test for him to say, you know, how much do you want to play for me? Do you trust me? There you go, if you do. I mean, imagine that happening now.
Imagine that happening with an agent.
I've got the list, Jan, lads. Newcastle spent just under 19 million for the 12 months on agent's fees.
That's still a lot for me.
God.
Yeah. Well, the team at the bottom of the table, the money table, they paid over 2 million. And that team was, let me see, Luton. Hmm. So they paid just over 2 million on the agency fees.
I mean, those figures are almost coming into the realms of being reasonable, aren't they? Spend in the Premier League with the money that's in the Premier League, a couple of million to get your players' business done.
So the top five are basically the top five. You've got Chelsea, Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, and there you go. You've got figures are 75.
Clarkie, because I would think if you're the best clubs in the country, surely players want to go to you, and you can be a little bit more stronger with the agent and say, well, look, I'm not giving you that much. I want the player.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe go to the player and say, listen, your agent's being a bit of a deal by asking for too much for himself. So I want you, but I'm not paying him what he wants. So if that's the case, we're not going to pursue anything. And I bet you how many players will phone their agent and go, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So surely if you've got a bit of pull like them big clubs we've just mentioned, surely you're in the box seat for that, but it doesn't seem to be happening. It seems to be happening, it's the other way around. People are going to them because they've got the most money and they're just shelling out for agents. Now, listen, it's not always black and white like that, is it? But do you know what I mean? It's, for me, if you're at a bigger club, surely you can drive a harder bargain.
Can I let you into a little secret?
Go on, Dave.
Am I allowed to let you into a little secret, fellas? I did do some agents work for a couple of years. I wrapped it in because I got stabbed in the back so many times.
Well, I did.
It's just ridiculous.
When I first packed in.
And a couple of clubs said to me, and there was one club in the Premier League that I was dealing with, and they said, look, I've got a certain amount of money, and out of that money comes the player's salary, signing on fees, agent's money. Mm. So if you want to take a bigger chunk, your player gets less.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of clubs look at it, and players don't realise that. Mm. If that agent's getting a big slab of cash, that could have been cash that went into his pocket.
Yeah, because the agent will say to the player, listen, I don't want nothing off you, the club will pay me.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way, you know, you get a bit of goodwill from the player, thinking, no, he's not taking nothing off me, but he is, because whatever he gets is coming from what you
could
would have got.
Yeah,
yeah.
75 million.
But you're right, I mean, it's such a tough world now. I mean, they used to regulate it, and then they cancelled the regulations, didn't they, where you had to take the agent's exam. Then you didn't, and now you have to again, don't you? There's something. They had a bond where you had to put a bond up at one stage of, I think it was 100 grand to be an agent. That went. So they've tried to do all kinds. Obviously, if you're a family member, you're allowed to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't think they know where they're going with the rules, but that's not just with them, is it? It's with, if you look at the points deductions, Forest and Everton have been dealt with. Everton have got another two this week.
Sheffield United.
It's a mess, by the way.
Next year. So we could get Sheffield to a point with the end of the season where we don't know who's relegated after the last games played.
But Higgy, you've got that. Then you've got, I've just been looking there, Leicester if broke rules, but they're not going to get a deduction this season. It's going to count next season.
Well,
so I don't get it.
That's the same as Sheffield United.
Do you know the Leeds one? So Leeds owe 190 million in unpaid transfer fees to clubs.
Wow.
And that, so they're going to get absolutely battered, and they've only got, was it 2 million quid?
You've got 2 million quid due coming in.
Due in, but owe 190 million.
So they've got to balance those books.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do?
Well, what if they don't go up?
Well, if they don't go up, they could end up in League Two. It doesn't bear thinking about. You know, how can you agree to buy 190 million pounds worth of talent, but not have the money to pay for it?
Well, they haven't defaulted. I mean,
they haven't defunct.
They haven't defaulted. No, we've got to say that. But they've got to pay 190 million quid on players.
Is it oncoming, like, stages of payments? Is that what's coming out in the future?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're absolutely desperate to get promoted then, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. So if they don't get promoted, I mean, it doesn't bear to think what could happen to them. But are they the only club who've done that?
No.
Have other clubs done that on a maybe smaller scale? Or?
Well, Chelsea mastered it, didn't they? Well, you mentioned it earlier about the long-term stuff. Let's spread the cost of a player out over 7 years, not 3 years. Mm. And it's less that has to go every year, amortised every year to go to financial fair play.
Yeah.
But that means you've got a hell of a lot of money outstanding that you've got to pay out for a long period of time.
And what happens when you want the player to go?
Mm.
So you've still got, say you want him to go after a year or 2 years, and he's still got another 5 or 6 years left on his contract. Do you have to pay that 5 or 6 years up straight away? Or do you do another deal with him? So you've got a deal to pay the transfer fee over 7 years, and then you've got a deal to pay the player's wages again over 7 years. It just, where does it end?
Nonsense. No, it's... They've tried to be, like you said, Higgy, they've tried to be tricky Chelsea, and it's come back to bite them.
Because they're thinking they're going to, you know, the profit and sustainability that it's called now, they think they've got a fast one and got around that. But it's ongoing, this thing, isn't it? Everything's ongoing. And by the way, the rules are going to change again.
I tell you where it could bite them as well, is if suddenly they get a player that they don't want to keep and they can't move him on and he's on a 7-year deal.
Yeah. Well, it'll happen.
Well, it would, because, Dave, why should the players give up? They're committed to the contract. If the club are breaking it, the club have to pay them what is due, what the players due.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're going to, like Higgy said, it might be 5, 6, 7 years left on contracts, which will be mega money, by the way, per year.
Yeah.
So they're having to pay these players 100% of what they're owed, and then the player goes to another big club elsewhere in Europe and gets another big...
big slab
deal.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they're laughing. Their agents, you know, these agents who've took 75 million out the last 12 months, they could be going getting another golden handshake from the next club if some of these players haven't performed. Oh. So
that's it. Three Legends Agency is formed tonight.
It is. Yeah.
That's it. I tell you who. Well, that goes nicely on the next one. I tell you who I'd love to be if I was an agent, who I'd love to represent. Any of those players I watched on Tuesday night in the Real Madrid Man City game, I wouldn't mind representing some of them.
I'd just take one of them, Clarky. Phil Foden or someone like that.
Did you watch it?
I'll take one of the legs.
I didn't see the whole game, but I've seen the highlights. I mean, the quality.
You've seen the goal. Yeah. You've seen the unbelievable to get the draw, the game that you have, in a 3-3 draw, and to get five world class goals out of the six. I mean, every time someone scored, it was beating the one before.
Even the
Rodrigo goal, when you first see it, you think, oh, what's happened there? Has it been a bit of a miskick? But he's waited for the defender to come, who's then blocked the eye line of the keeper. And then he's just passed it down by his legs where he can't get to. It's different class after a run like that. Then you've got the Foden and... You know, it was absolutely a brilliant game. When you talk about top players performing at the top level, that was top draw. That
the game last year was poised on a draw, wasn't it? Away, 1-1.
Yeah.
And then City battered them, didn't they? 4-0 at home. Yeah.
But you'd fancy City to do that again. You know, they're just goal machines, aren't they? I mean,
lads, where do you sit on this? Because obviously See, there's some very well-known pundits out there and very experienced and well, you know, footballers who've done well, who've turned into the punditry now, having a little half a pop at Erling Haaland, saying that his general players not really of a high level. I mean, he didn't get involved a lot again, did he, in the game against Real Madrid? But where do you sit with that one? There's been a few crazy comments on that.
Well, Roy Keane, wasn't it, said he was League Two technical.
I tell you what, if I was a League Two manager, I'd be knocking on his door, see if he fancies coming to play.
Well, do you know what? I'd want to see the players that Roy Keane's watching who are Premier League.
Yeah, 100%.
But listen, you can't knock anything that he's done. Not one thing. I think, listen, if he gets involved in more build-up play, he doesn't score as many goals.
Yeah.
What do you want? Do you want goals or do you want him to get more involved in games?
Well, it's goals on goals, isn't it? Yeah. Him scoring directly, helping set up.
Yeah,
well.
I know what I want.
Yeah.
If someone's going to score 40 or 50 goals a season for me every season, I know where I want him.
Mm.
I don't
think... that's why they brought him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they knew what he was about.
Clarke, is there any team he doesn't get in?
Not, in my opinion, he makes every team better.
Mm.
Every team he goes to, when you're talking about the elite, the powerhouses, the super clubs, when he joins, he makes them better without a shadow of a doubt.
But isn't it weird what we talk about when we keep saying, you know, every team needs a goal scorer, right? So everyone needs a goal scorer. But we're talking about here the ultimate goal scorer. Now we're saying, oh, we want him to get involved a bit more.
Last season he was a machine.
Technically, he's not. He's not brilliant. He needs to get better. Who's bothered if he's scoring 40 or 50 a season? So we're never happy, are we? You know, if someone scores too many goals, we're like, oh, he doesn't get involved in the play. And then if he gets involved in the play, he doesn't score goals, we're like, oh, he hasn't scored as many goals this season, has he? So you can't win, can you? And if I'm him,
you can't.
I'm laughing. I'm just laughing at people who are talking about me.
I think them players that they're looking for who score 50 a season plus come short and join in and link the play up there on the PlayStation, aren't they? Yeah. They're on FIFA. Well,
they're called Lionel Messi, aren't they? That's what they're called.
Speaking of PlayStation, Will Stills emerged as the favourite now for the Sunderland job.
Will Still? Didn't they have a look at him last time, though, Daz?
Yeah, they had a look at him last time, mate, and he was umming and ahhing, but apparently...
Was it not Football Manager where he learned to become a coach, Daz? No, yeah, it was, mate.
It was, guys.
You're laughing, it was. That's what he used to do, and that's why he formed all his coaching strategies apparently.
He formed it from the football eye on the computer.
Football Manager,
It's crazy,
that's where we've gone wrong. We've ended up playing stupidly, wrecking our bodies, doing what we've done to it, when we could have just got Football Manager and learnt exactly, everything mate. About everything on Football Manager.
Yeah, but computer games didn't exist in your days, lads.
No.
Just black and white tellies.
In Atari.
Sega Mega Drive.
And the hardest thing is in that comment is I'm older than the three of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's emerged as favourite now. They've come out and said that, you know, he's potential favourite. Obviously, Paul Heckenbottom's been bantered about a bit. But yeah, so it's an interesting one.
Do you think something's gone on in the background with Heckenbottom, Daz?
I think
it's been quiet, hasn't it, with all the stuff. There's been nothing really that's come out of the club.
No, I think with Hecky, I think, you know, he's probably the type that wants to kind of bring people in. And I'm not too sure, obviously, that's going to be an option. Mm. So for me, I think, you know, that's where it may have faded off a little bit. But yeah, you know, it's early days yet because obviously, like they said, they're not going to do anything till the summer, which I still find bizarre. But because I think, you know, they've got to make a decision before the end of the season at least. But yeah, it's just interesting, you know, because like you say, Hecky was favourite. Now he seems to have faded away a little bit, and obviously that Will Still's now come to the forefront, and you know, it looks like he's going to be the maybe he's the one who's there or thereabouts at the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, they need, like you say, they need to do something, Daz, and whether that's...
Yeah.
You know, I haven't even seen a statement come out of the club. All I've seen is the last one with Dodgy saying he was going to be in charge right until the end of the season. But other than that, it's been very, very quiet.
So quiet. Yeah, they're so quiet on things, mate. You know, they don't publicise a lot of things like that. You know, everything's to do with, you know, with different things. Obviously, you know, there's kit sponsor and, you know, the change of the flags outside the stadium alike, you know, that hit the news. You know what I mean? It's like, but, you know, the main thing is obviously let's sort of manage, you know. If you're keeping Dodgy in place, say you're keeping Dodgy in place. If you're not, if you're bringing somebody else in, then, you know, let's have him in, yeah. You know, before the end of the season. You know, let's get things sorted. Mm. And let's go in the right direction.
But Daz, like you say though, whoever comes in, they're going to be restricted unless they get someone who's going to score regularly for them.
Of course they are, mate. 100%, 100%. You know, this is the thing, mate. And they've got to change. They've got to change the way they're doing things. You know, you need to get people in. You know, we can't always just look for young lads. You know, who are floating around. Yeah, it's great to have them. You know, have them in the squad, and you know, we've got some great talent there. But at the end of the day, you know, we need a bit of experience and some strikers in there, because you know we can't rely on one striker. You know, we haven't got any at the moment, but you can't rely on one striker. Exactly. You know, you at least need two, two or three to get you through the season.
Well, I've told you where there is one. I mean,
to be fair, mate, we were in for Joe Linton, but that fell through today.
He was too old. Do you know what was interesting in the week? So, like, the Swansea game, Borough-Swansea, 2-0, end-of-season game. Borough fully deserved it. But their manager, Luke Williams, Swansea's manager, come out and said the atmosphere was shocking. He said, I could hear people talking in the crowd.
Aye.
Right. And there was about 100 Swansea punters there as well. So they didn't play their part. But are we getting to that stage now where, I mean, Borough, you know, there were still a lot of people who thought Borough could make the playoffs even after that win.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah, and still do. Wow. But is he right to come out and say that? Because, listen, I was at Swansea, the reverse fixture, and I'm telling you, it wasn't the best atmosphere I've ever been in either, by any stretch. So do you think he's just been a bit peeved off about the game and what he's seen in the game and thought, oh, I'm just going to have a pop?
I think it was the same atmosphere at Sunderland. Do you know what? On Saturday. And it was dead quiet. It was just, you know, it was like you've just turned out to watch a training session. Do you know what I mean? There was no atmosphere whatsoever. And, you know, that may be the situation where we're at now, mate. You know, within the season, obviously, there's not a lot of play for us, so I think that's
him coming out and being frustrated, because Higgy, surely when you managed, I was the same. When we went away from home, you used to say at the players, quiet in the crowd, nullify them, get behind the team. So if the Borough fans, if he's saying the crowd wasn't great, the atmosphere wasn't great, well, the Borough fans weren't behind the team, it means that his team have been poor, because they couldn't take that on board and help it. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's saying that through gritted, angry teeth, that his team haven't probably won a game that he was hoping and wanting to. Because, as you said, if you go away from home and the atmosphere's not great, well, you know, you should have one foot in the door getting a result.
It's like a pointless comment, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's what you want to happen as a manager, like you've said. Yeah. But at the same time, you're moaning about it because you want the Borough fans to be louder. It didn't make sense to me. And when I seen it and I seen the quotes, I just thought, that sounds like, you know, he sounds a little bit bitter because the game hasn't gone the way he wanted it to. And maybe one or two things have happened. I don't know whether it's between him and the bench or whether it was referee decisions. I don't know. But he doesn't sound like he was enamoured with what went on.
Maybe he was just there for a day out again. He wanted a better atmosphere.
Well, he had a good day out, Daz, because he went back with nothing. So he's all right. But the other thing I was going to touch on was Carrick. So, like, we spoke about him a couple of times, and obviously he's doing a great job. But we'd spoke about whether he'd done enough to get a bigger gig, you know, whether bigger clubs would be looking at him. And probably at the time the feeling was no. I don't think he has this season. I think he's... But then, if they finish the season as strongly as they are, does that then reignite stuff in the summer where they have a look and think, well, do you know what? They've gone 7, 8, 9 games unbeaten at the end of the season. He's obviously got something, because the team... I don't think the team's anywhere near what it was last season. And if they do continue and just miss out on a couple of points with the playoffs, then it'll be looked as though he's punched above his weight again, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I think you can see both sides of it, can't you? You can see it, yeah. I mean, you guys will know who go to watch Borough more regular than I do, but like you say, Higgy's, this squad this year isn't as strong as last season, which he got in the playoffs with. But I think in terms of making that next step in the Premier League, I certainly think he's got the... he ticks a lot of the boxes, but I think there'll be chairman out there who'll be thinking, let's see what he can do next year. Let's see what he can do again when he's had another summer window. I'm sure because of his name and what he's had as a playing career, but you know, and what he's done so far in a short period of time at the Borough, there will be people out there showing an interest and keeping an eye on how he progresses. I just think they might wait. But hey, football's a strange old game, innit?
Mm.
He's certainly going on the right track. I think you've said it all season that he does need a bit of help in terms of the quality of players and the type of players that are brought in being a bit restricted. So you're just wondering whether they'll go again in the summer and do that, you know.
And the other thing I was thinking of today is because they have, or they're on this really good run where they're 7 unbeaten and they look like they're going to finish the season quite strong, whereas last year it was the opposite. I think they had 2 wins in the last 10 last season, but I know he was swapping players because they were already virtually guaranteed the playoffs. With the players, does he then get a false sense of security where he thinks actually this squad's not bad and we only need 2 or 3?
Well, that can sometimes happen, can't it?
I mean, I think that'd be wrong, you know. I think that'd be a downfall. I think they need 5 or 6 before they but it just worries me that they look at the end of the season and think, do you know what, we've gone all right there, I don't think we need to tinker too much with it. Because I think, and even this season, I think if they'd have got really close to it, I think they might have showed a bit of nerves and a bit of, you know, we're back in it again now and we've got something to lose, and then start to underperform again. I just think that was the sort of the mentality of them.
I think this season, though, mate, we all 3 clubs have gone through such a weird season with injuries and stuff. Mm. We've all lost a lot of players. I mean, we had 10 out a couple of months back. You know, obviously, you guys have had an injury hit season. You guys have, and Middlesbrough have had an injury hit season. So it's been a peculiar season in a sense of getting your best squad out there week in, week out. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, had we not had all those, you know, really bad injuries, etc., you know, I think things would have been a lot different.
Even with the squads that they've got?
Yeah, I think it would have been, mate. I think it would have been. I just think there's been too much chop and change throughout the clubs, and I think, you know, we would have been looking at a different position of where we are now than if we hadn't had those injuries.
What's interesting for me is the club did come out and say that they were already talking about a contract situation with Carrick.
Yeah.
So those discussions have been had. A lot of the fans, like Patrick, who sent a message in saying he thinks Carrick will go in the summer. He hopes not. But West Ham have been known to be sniffing, so that's...
Well, look, West Ham makes sense because, you know, the player there and they know him there, and, you know, it'll probably appease the fans if Moyes was to go. But like Clarkie said a couple of weeks ago, what more do you want David Moyes to do?
I know.
With the football club?
I know, exactly. So crazy.
Straight away, you know, if he doesn't finish where Moyes finished, does that mean there's been a downgrade? It's a dangerous job to take, I think, the West Ham one for him. Because of how well David Moyes
would, that would
done.
Be a mug at the Beale, wouldn't it, if that happened?
Well, it's a bit like following Klopp, isn't it? You know what I mean? Whilst the West Ham fans don't think that, but when someone else comes in and doesn't do what David Moyes has been doing, then suddenly they'll realise, hang on a minute, what have we just give away? So it's a dangerous...
Just a quick question, Dave.
Dave,
just a quick question. Has Carrick got an agent?
I'm sure he's got a very good one. talking about somebody who needs an agent, coming up after we finish, Ian Murta, the man with a quill. That's how long he's been reporting on North East football. He joins us now, black, white, red all over, coming up after this show at 7 o'clock. Ian, what have you got for us tonight?
Yeah, I'll have you know the printing press was invented when I first started. It's interesting listening you talk about Borough, because my second guest on the show is someone who's probably had more jobs at Borough than we've all had hot dinners. He's Gordon Cox, who I know Craig knows very well. He's great fella. He's lovely, worked for the programme. He's been, he even started off as a turnstile operator at Dareson Park, and he worked with the legendary Alistair Brownlee, of course, and he's now working for the foundation. So I'm very interested to hear his thoughts on all things Borough. I think he's going to have to stop off in the service station because he's on his way down to Ipswich as we speak. And my second guest, well, in fact, my first guest is Kieran Kelly of the Chronicle. Now, Kieran comes from Galway in Ireland, and he's been covering Newcastle for I think about 4 or 5 years now. But what makes him quite interesting is that his previous job was in Manchester. And so I'm going to ask him just to compare what it's like working day to day with Manchester United, with Newcastle United. You know, are Newcastle as big as them? What's the vibe at both clubs? So I think it'd be very interesting to hear what he's got to say.
Cracking stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
It, all you need to know, Ian, is big clubs win trophies. That's all you need to know.
I'll leave Darren and Lee to sort that.
Cheers, Ian. Ian, there, black and white, red, all over immediately at the
Take
end.
Take care.
In about 7.5 minutes, he'll be with us. Fellas, we've got to look ahead to the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to look ahead to the weekend.
Or the next two weekends.
Yeah, well, it's a tough one. It's as tough as they come. It's Ipswich away. Long journey down. If Borough get anything there, I'll be really impressed. Really impressed. I think we mentioned it before, that the time of the season it is, Ipswich might be getting a little bit uneasy, nervous crowd.
The top three are.
Yeah, well, I think if the crowd become nervous as well, and Borough start well, maybe get the noses in front, I think they could beat Ipswich.
Iggy, they've got a tough run in them, you know, Ipswich.
They have, yeah. They have.
Yeah, they've got Hull, Coventry and Huddersfield.
But I think...
obviously, including yourselves.
I don't think it matters who they play, Daz. I think everyone's going to be really nervous, whether you're at the top or whether you're fighting for your life. I think it's that time of season, whereas Borough have got nothing to be nervous about. Mm. They've got nothing to play for, really. They can just go down and enjoy it and try and spoil the party.
And tell you what could be added to that as well is the fact Leicester play tonight and Leeds are a 12:30 kickoff tomorrow. Mm. So those two results could go against them going into their game.
Yeah.
They could go for them and they get a wonderful opportunity, but that's an interesting one.
Mm. Well, I think that's going to be... I mean, and Borough after that have got Leeds as well, so they've got a big say in what happens at the very top of the league.
They have, yeah, definitely, mate.
But you can't go there and play poorly. Because if you do that, you'll get beat. You know, we've seen something about Ipswich. They've got some good quality players who can hurt you. And if you give them time and space, they will hurt you. I think it's a really tough game, but I can see it being a nervy one for Ipswich if Borough get their noses in front.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for a draw.
Splinter bum. Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay. Fellas?
I think Borough enjoy playing these games. I think it brings out the best in their players. Obviously the manager's very experienced and being involved in big games, so when I try and work these ones out, I'm more confident with these ones of Borough getting a positive result than I am when they play like the bottom six. So I'm with Higgy. I think they'll take at least a point and they're going to affect the title. Mm-hmm. At least a point, I think they're going to affect the title race and who gets promoted massively.
Wow.
Because obviously they worked together as well, didn't they, Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick, when they were at Manchester United. So they know each other really well. Mm. They probably know each other's thoughts on football and how the game should be played. And, you know, I don't think he's needed to see too many videos on Ipswich to know how they're going to play. And vice versa, by the way.
Well, to be fair... I fancy the Borough, I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
I just think
could have gone by a lottery ticket.
I think it's squeaky bum time, mate, and I think our new striker for next year, Lattie Lath, is probably going to get a score sheet.
he's going to score,
but I'm going to go 2-1 to Borough.
Love it.
Wow.
Love
huge it. Shout
undefeated,
massive, mate, massive.
I'm going to tell you what I said this morning, Lynn.
What did you said a beat, didn't you?
I said they'd lose, yeah.
Oh, Dave, you've let us all down there.
Well, why not? I always get it wrong, don't you worry. So,
got Newcastle, Tottenham. I can see this, like Clarky said, I can see goals in this one. I'm going to go 3-2 to Tottenham.
Woohoo! Oh, come on, Iggy.
I know.
I'm with you, mate. I think there's going to be a lot of goals, but I think it'll come on the right side of us, and I'll go 3-2 for Newcastle.
Definitely. He's going to go 3-3, isn't he?
4-3, no. No, I actually, before you've written that down, Clark, yeah, I've written down 3-2 under my name. So I've gone 3-2 Newcastle.
Okay. I did 2-1 Spurs this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah.
Dave, you want to write down now with the North East clubs?
Oh, mate, I've obviously been to America, haven't I? Enjoyed myself in a different country. I've come over and it's like, nah, this is crap. Loss. There you go.
How are Sunderland going to do West Brom, Daz?
Well, you know, we beat them at the stadium alight. Obviously, we've had in different times since then. I think, obviously, we've had a couple of clean sheets. I don't think we're going to get a clean sheet at West Brom. But I also don't think we're going to lose. I think we're going to win 2-1. 2-1.
Ooh, I'm going to go for another draw for Sunderland. And they're going to mix up the playoff positions as well. Yeah. So I'm going to go... The two teams in the Championship are going to cause havoc in the promotion race and get at least a point each.
I'm going to go 1-1. That's what I'm going to do.
Don't mind that, fellas.
What have I had? Two draws and a defeat there, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's going to be interesting. Let's have a quick one. Who's going to get automatic promotion?
You've got a minute and a half to get through it.
Might not be long enough, Dave.
I'm going Leeds. Leicester. That's what I'm going to say.
Let us just toss these Leeds coins up in the air.
I think Leicester will win the league. I'm going to
go. Yeah. I know the showing signs are wobbling, but they've got a game in hand. I think Leicester.
I'm going to go Leicester and Leeds as well, yeah.
Yeah. Leicester Leeds.
Daz, what are you going with?
For me as well. I'm going Leicester Leeds, mate. Yeah, I think Ipswich are just gonna slip into the playoffs.
Ipswich are definitely going up now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're going to slip.
100%, mate.
Yeah, I think it's Leicester Leeds going up. Ipswich will slip.
Yeah, but everyone's expected Ipswich to slip all season, and they haven't.
Mm.
They're still there, and they're going to be there right till the end now.
Well, it's going to be an interesting end, mate. The season, 100%.
Sunday. Nope. Just get rid of that. That wasn't supposed to happen. There you go. Goodbye. Okay then, fellas, we're done and dusted. It's that time again. So thank you for your predictions. I am doom and gloom. And obviously you fellas are all, you know, singing the praises of the North East in one way or another, as Iggy tips Newcastle to lose. Fellas, we'll catch you next week. Have a good weekend.
Cheers. Good luck at the weekend.
Cheers,
weekend,
guys.
All the best. Have a good
one. Boys. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Banter at its best across the Northeast. It's the Three Legends.
The Tune, the Red, and the Curve.